Thank you for tuning in to BOM, a ministry when life offers you no other option but God. I am your host, Apostle Bell, here to bring you insightful, informative, and definitely words of encouragement to change through the Word of God. I also have guest speakers that will come in and bring enlightenment to your life as well. Let's listen in and see what thus says the Lord.
It's not easy. It's not, you know, when you got daughters, man, when you got daughters, I don't know how old your daughters are, but mine is like
10.
Like I told you, they grown and they gone. You know, my baby, I got a baby. I'm 34. My baby girl be 34 Friday, I think, Tuesday. And so, you know what? But you know what? She still got to, you know, she got her own place, but guess what? Daddy got to talk to her. You know, she knows that daddy's there. Why? Because their daddy is a godly man. And I watch over my children, you know. So, that's me. That's how I am. I believe that God wants to do it. And the main thing I tell my kids, the Bible say, honor your mother and your father. And so they do that. And while they're doing that, they guess what? They get blessed. And God bless them. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you start trusting God. And a man, as we talk about this a man thing, but a man trusts God. Trust God to make him a better husband, a better father, a better leader in his household. Because one thing about it, a man is a pastor of his what? His own house. Everything starts at home first. Everything starts at home first.
Wow. That's the song.
Amen. And he touched on everything that is so critical, especially when it comes to having daughters. I have a 10-year-old daughter right now in fifth grade, just started fifth grade this year. And and the most critical thing that we teach them is what the type of, as you get older, what type of man you should be with and the first thing they look at is they look at you. They look at that. They look at daddy. And yeah, just like Pastor Wilbur touched on that, most importantly, they look at how you treat they mama. Mm. And so if you slapping your wife, then the daughter, she feels that's the type of man she wanted, that man that's going to slap her around. But if she sees you still being humble, even when the wife is trying to argue with you, and she see that you as a man not even going back and forth with words at her, that you just know how to keep your cool and you humbly know how to go walk away and cool off, then that's the type of expectations that she's going to look for in a man, that she's not going to take no mess off of no man.
That's right.
So, it, like you just said, it all starts at home. And whatever that girl see growing up, and she sees how her father and mother interact, then that's the kind of qualities that she's going to look for in a man.
That's right. That's right.
The same kind of man that treated her mama, whether he treated her right or wrong, them the qualities that she gonna look for in a man when she get old.
I love my mama.
So, that's right. And that's why as men, it's just so important for us in relationships to be mindful of how we treat our wives, how we treat the woman that we're with.
It.
Yeah, because the kids are watching.
Yeah.
And it influenced them more than we know. And it influenced them more than we can ever imagine. And they takes that with them into adulthood.
I mean, he hit it right there because the kids watch. How you say it? Why they watch? Because they watch and do what?
Learn.
They watch and learn, and it all comes from the house. They watch and learn what's going on at the house. You know, if mama don't cook all the time, mama don't cook it, and daddy just sit around and smoke a cigarette and drink beer all day, guess what? That's their environment. So their mindset on that environment that they grew up around. Why? Because they're not able to, you got that environment or you got the environment of being a godly man or a godly woman in your household. And the kids will grow up saying, yes, sir, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you know, no. Not yeah, no. You can tell the way the kids talk with how their household is run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's powerful there. You can tell how a household is ran by the way the kids talk.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow. Wow.
Let's go for example. I know you agree with me. When we was young, right? And I want to use the example. We was out in the car, and before we go to the store, they looked at us. That look means what? Don't act up.
They don't do it.
even if we're in the store and they stop running around, all you gotta do is do what? Look at them.
That look.
Wow.
That look. Why? That look is a fear. But today children don't fear. There's no way in the world my kid's gonna act like a fool in the store, in the public. I'm just saying, you know why? Because that is the way they're gonna be trained. Learn to respect yourself. And you know how my wife sometimes, you know, I crack up, my wife said, oh, just give me that baby for a day. you know, give me that baby for a day. It won't be like that no more. But that's because they act crazy in the store and in public. Guess what else they act crazy? At home.
Wow.
Yeah. The way the kids talk in the church or something, when they start respecting the elders in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful sign when you get the kids in the church saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, I'm sorry, can I? You know, you saying what? Wow, they're being taught right.
Wow.
Not saying you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy.
Wow.
It all starts at home, man.
Wow. Okay, man. I gotta go to the next section because I really could keep talking about this right here, but I want to talk about a little bit about marriage, and I want to touch on some areas to help men in their marriage. Minister LaShawn said he's been married for 5 years, and Minister Wilbur has been married by 20 years. See, that's great. We can work with that because you got somebody that's new still, and you got somebody that's been in the game a while. So I want to look at this thing from a whole. Minister LaShawn, let's start with you.
Mm-hmm.
When you went into this marriage with your wife, what was the biggest myth that you were looking for in marriage, and then you realized, man, that ain't what everybody said it was. I don't want to throw nobody under the bus because y'all live with these women. Okay. Yeah, I live with these women, so when we get off this call, when we get off this call, you don't want to get beat up tonight. Let me tell you something, because I've been married twice. So I want to put this disclaimer out here right now. Because I've been married, and last thing I want is not to be able to go to sleep when I got to go to work tomorrow.
Come on now.
So if you could, maybe we might need to talk in code.
Speaking of military code, let me go
with Pop Press to give you a little bit more time to worry. I've been married too, so I know, man. I'm just it's all in fun though. But let me ask you, you know. Everybody has said, man, when you get married, it's going to be like this or it's going to be like that. And it wasn't like you said it was, like they said it was. But you realize that there was a little truth to it, but then there wasn't as much as they exaggerated it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm asking, what is the one thing that you can tell people about marriage that you truly, truly enjoy? That people said, "Oh, it ain't gonna be that. It ain't gonna be like that."
Well, who you asking?
Say it again.
Who you asking
for? It don't even matter. Whichever one of y'all wife ain't the closest.
which one was gonna talk in tongues first? You know what? The first thing really, and I'm serious about this, is when me and my wife got married, we both were saved, and I've been loving my wife for 40 years, but we got married 20 years. But
wow.
the thing about it is that. I learned as being a man of God is really how to love my wife. I put her through some hell now. As growing up as a teenager, young man, 20s and stuff, I put her through some stuff. But when we got married, we both were saved. That's when God stepped in and showed me how to be a real man. We don't argue in front of our kids. We don't argue, really. We have disagreements. One thing that I learned, and I'm 59, she's 58, that we still love each other and in love with each other. I tell her every night I love her before we go to bed. We kiss each other before we go to bed. We cherish our relationship. You know what's funny, and I'm saying, when I kiss my wife in front of my kids, they're like, but the thing about it is that because I love my wife like I did 40 years ago, that love that we have for each other, we don't let it die out. We still act like we're young. And when people see us, they see us happy and smiling. They know that we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
When God blessed me with this woman at matrimony, mm-hmm. we took everything the way God wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And today you have so many divorces in the church because they don't honor the marriage. Or like even when I told you I'm saying this. I'm not just married. I am happily married.
Yes.
Wow.
Why? Because that's my verse. You hear a lot of people say, I'm married to my wife Tina. I know. I'm happily married. My wife is my peanut butter and jelly, my best friend, my girlfriend. She's my everything. And people laugh, but they don't understand. That's how I feel about my wife. Because wow. God blessed me with a wonderful woman. And I say this because with men, married men in the church, when we start really identifying our wife saying, this is my queen, I'm happily married. When we have disagreement, we don't do it in front of the kids. We wait till we go to the room and talk about it. We don't go to bed mad at each other. I refuse to go to bed mad at my wife.
Wow.
Even though we have a disagreement, I refuse to go. I have to apologize. I'm going to apologize. I want to tell her I love her. Why? Because that might be my last time seeing her. When I leave in the morning, I kiss her. Why? Because I might not make it home. We don't never know.
Yeah, that's right.
But when we learn how to really show that love, that honey, I love you. It's not lip thing. She feel it. Even when she come home from work, she gives me a kiss. Why? Because she loves me. And if we can start really showing that to one another, people see it. People talk about your marriage, how happy you are. Why? Because y'all showing that. It's really that way. Sometimes as a married man, sometimes you gotta look at your wife that's sitting across on the couch or the chair, and look at her and say, you know what, God, thank you.
Wow.
Why? Because without my wife, I'm trying to say, without my wife, I'll probably be messed up. When I'm angry about a situation, I could come home and talk to her. When I'm feeling bad, I could look at her and smile. And I'm not saying this to say this to be all pretty and all this stuff, but this is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to be up all the time. We're going to have some downfall.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is, I'm not going to go to bed mad at my wife, and I'm not going to never go to bed and tell her I don't love her.
Wow.
Yeah, that keeps, because the fire never dies out when you say you really love her and show that you love her. The fire never dies out. Yeah, and I thank God for that.
Wow.
20 years, and I want 20 more.
Come on now.
Yes, sir.
I like that. Mr. LaShawn?
Well, so far the biggest myth for me was I had friends that were single that tried to tell me once you get married, you're going to be tired of being with the same woman every day.
Wow.
Woo. I dispel that myth right now.
Cut them friends loose.
I proved that one wrong. Because
even
4 years strong, I still love this same woman. I still love being with her.
That's right.
And she's the only woman that I desire to be with.
Wow.
And just like Pastor Will would say, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. But when you're able to follow God's guidelines, like he just said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't go to sleep mad at my wife, and she ain't going to go to sleep mad at me. We able to talk it out before we go to bed. And
that's right.
Be able to be mature about it and settle our differences and come to an agreement. Because that's the worst thing you can do is go to bed mad at each other. You're going to wake up mad at each other. and go through your day mad at each other. And it just keeps on spiraling out of control. So that's the most important part, is learning how to communicate with your wife. When you communicate with your mate, and you're able to be mature about it. Because a lot of people in marriage don't know how to be mature. They don't know how to have a mature conversation. They have conversations that wind up, they cursing each other out. You wind up saying things about each other that you can't take back. And that's one of the things I try to do in my marriage, is be careful of what comes out of my mouth to my wife. And I make sure I don't say nothing that I know I cannot take back. I learned how to go somewhere and walk away and cool off if I feel that I'm going to get to that point. And that's a part of marriage that men need to understand, how to be mature, how to handle situations like this, especially when you get into an argument. And marriage is a beautiful thing, man.
It is.
And it's all about what you put into to the marriage. And I learned also that to not focus on what my wife not doing, but to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as a husband.
Jesus.
Because that's the worst thing I can do, is look at her and be like, I'm doing this for you and you ain't doing this for me, but you not doing this for me. So I'm not going to do that for you no more. No, I'm still supposed to fulfill my role as a husband.
Wow.
And even when you are short in your area, and it's my part as the leader to guide you to the in the right direction. So marriage is really a blessed thing, and I'm happily married, and I learned in marriage how to become faithful, because that was something that I never was. I was not a faithful man. I learned how to be faithful. I learned how not to be out in the streets anymore. I'm a family man. I'm at home. Because even when we get ready to talk about ministry, I know that I have to rule my household right. Or I shouldn't have no business being a leader in church if I'm not a leader at home.
That's right.
And the manhood part, if I'm not a leader out there in my community.
Wow.
A leader out there wherever I go. So all three of them, manhood, marriage, and ministry, all ties into leadership. As a man, you have to be a leader. If you're not going to be a leader, you cannot be effective in these areas.
Wow.
But, you know, and I was listening to Brother Deshaun, and I was like, you know, I haven't, you know, experienced somebody telling me that about being married, and that ain't gonna supposed to be like this. And I'm like, if anybody that I feel that feels jealous about my marriage or things like this, I don't need to be around you.
Come on, that's it.
Because I don't need you speaking negative about my marriage. The thing that I look at in the marriage is, first, is we need to have a communication system. Secondly, we need to have a trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, is we need to understand a financial issue. Those three things could make a marriage, or those three things could break a marriage.
Wait, say that again.
Those three things could make a marriage, and those three things could break a marriage.
What's the three things again? I need to hear it again.
Okay, the first one is you and your wife have to have communication. The second one is you have to have trust. The third one is infidelity. Now, and I say that to say this. If you and your wife don't have communication, how can things get solved? If you don't trust her and she don't trust you, how can it go forward? Mm. And if you feel that she's your wife, but you can still cheat on her, she can cheat on you, how's the marriage going? How's the household going to look? Those things can break a marriage up. But to make it positive, you and your wife, and I'm going to say, me and my wife, we have a great community. It's not like our minister, communication. We have to learn to talk to one another.
Yes.
The second thing is, we have to trust one another. As we trust God, we trust our marriage.
Wow.
And the thing is, I'm not praying to God bless me with a wonderful woman. I've been with her, I loved her for 40 years, but been faithful for her for 20 since we got married. And I'm honest about that. Because I was in the world of sin. Everything was around. But when I say, Lord, this is the one you bless me with.
Wow.
And so that right there keeps the marriage going. And the other thing is that when you really know that you love her, then it should just automatically be free. And the one thing that I tell a lot of young guys and a lot of young people, young men especially, if mama not happy, the household is not happy.
That's true.
Yeah, if mama not happy, when you go in and say, where's dinner? She's going to say, cook it yourself.
Yep.
But when mama happy, you don't even have to say a word. And young people need to understand that. It ain't about you.
Nope.
Especially as men. When mama happy, the whole household happy. The kids happy because you kept mama happy. Because mama getting miserable, boy, you can believe household is miserable.
It's going to be miserable.
They used to tell me that man is the head, but the woman is the neck.
And kick you in your tail.
you mess around here and go to work and say, can I work overtime? I ain't ready to go home yet.
Not about the next hour.
I gotta go, you know, you know why? It's because I tell you the other thing is because a lot of times man pride interfere with marriage. Interfere with marriage. And we need to learn how to let that pride go in the marriage. Pride go in the marriage. Because when you let that pride go, bring ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But humility brings humbleness, brings wisdom. You be like old Jerry Clampett. That granny have a way. You just be laid back. You already know what to do. Already know what to say.
Oh yeah.
You know, don't go in there and say, I'm the man in this house. My rules, what I say goes.
What? So you better sleep with one eye open.
That's when you learn to talk in tongues. That's the thing you don't say. But the thing about it is that I really mean that serious, that, you know, communication in a marriage is the best thing that could ever happen to any marriage to make it last long.
Mm-hmm.
When you really trust one another. Your wife said, I trust him. And I got to tell my wife, I don't trust her.
Yep.
Why? Because I know she loves me and I love her. And we're not going to, a man to tell her that she's real beautiful. You know what she would tell that man? I know my husband tell me that all the time.
What do y'all think is one of the hardest things for most men to understand as it pertains to marriage? Like, what do you think that they have the area that is hard? It seems like it's just the hardest, that they cannot seem to really just get it together till a little while, that this is how you make marriage work.
Well, my main thing is like this: did you put God first?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. That's the key right there. Did you put God first?
Wow.
If you didn't put God first, then how you expect it to work?
Wow.
Why I say that? Because God is what? Love.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
God is love. If God is love and you put him first and love is in you, guess what? You're supposed to show love. And
wow.
That's the one thing that a lot of marriages don't do. They don't put God first.
Yeah.
If God ain't first in the marriage, how you expect it to work? God, I have what? No other God before me.
Mm-hmm.
And if he ain't first, then what did you put before God?
Mm. Wow. Oh, Mr. LaSun, you want to piggyback that? Or you?
Next question.
Okay.
All right. You put it all in a nutshell right there.
Amen. Let's go on to this last topic. Real fast. Man, this is a good call, man. I feel like we need to come back and redo another one.
Oh, yeah, we
got to
do this
calls.
Again, man. We can go all night. This is just awesome. It's powerful.
Yeah, this is a good call here. Let's talk about ministry real quick. Let's talk about areas of ministry. Now, both of y'all are ministers. And Paul, how long you been ministering?
I think about 12 years.
About 12 years.
About 12 years.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Shaw, how long have you been ministering?
For me, it is going on 6 years now.
About 6 years. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask y'all this: what has been the most challenging aspect of being a minister that you have had to encounter?
Wow.
I know, man. I feel like Geraldo Rivera sometimes.
That's a good question.
Wow. Man, that wow.
Let me
you had to go deep on that one, didn't you? I'm ready to say the next question, but
y'all want me to break the ice? I can break the ice if y'all want me to. I mean, you know, this is the stuff that a lot of men that are ministering, that are married or single, they encounter this in ministry so much, and the challenge. So. For some, it may be, to be honest, it may be leadership, because I don't want to put nobody church on blast or nothing like that, you know, because it may not be in that arena. Maybe it's in the arena of females, to be real, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing about being a minister is that, for me, what people don't realize is that there comes a certain level of pressure. A certain level of pressure when you're ministering, especially when you start ministering at a higher level. And you have a lot of pull on your life.
Yeah.
So I guess let me ask it to you this way. What would you encourage a minister to be aware of while they're doing this walk?
Well, you learn how to really, really preach the word, and move on. Why I say that? Because when you preach the word, say that you get you end up ministering to somebody, and you want this person to get it, but you see that they're just playing with it, but they keep coming to you to minister to. You need to learn, in ministry, you need to learn how to say, really, tell the truth and move on. Because one thing I have learned in the ministry is people know the protocol of the church. They know how to hurt you with words, and you call yourself a minister. And you see, why is it? Because you tell them the truth on how people don't like to be called out. They don't like to be called out. But as a child of God, you have to stand up for what's right. You have to tell the truth. You know better than that. Why? You know better than that. You're not. And the thing about it, and people don't say, well, you judge me. No. In the book of Corinthians, it tells us we are judges of people that do ungodly things inside the house of God. So when people do ungodly things in the house of God, you tell them about it. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying you need to get it right. You know, in ministry, sometimes it hurts because we care about people. And when you see they can't get it, it's nothing that we can do but pray. Even though you want that person to get it, you want that person that you give them the word and you care. We care so much about people that if they don't want to get it, we start knocking ourselves. Is it something I'm doing wrong? It ain't nothing that we doing wrong. It's just they ain't tired of being tired. So we have to learn how to do what? Preach the word, give encouraging word, pray for them, and move on. And when we stay in too long, it ain't going to do nothing but hinder us, because now we're not thinking about the word, but we're thinking about the person. And we have to learn how to separate that. You know, give them the word. Give them everything that God told you to give them. And if they don't get it, let God do it. Give it to God. Yes, and you move forward. You move forward and you pray. And it's that way you don't get emotionally tied up with the person. Because we can get emotionally tied up with a person. Why? Because we love them in spite of, but we don't want to see them fall. As a minister, we don't want to see nobody fall. We want to see everybody go to heaven. But don't you know, some people just say, ready? We can't go down to the level, but we can pick them up. And when we pick them up, we need to go ahead and move on. Because it's up to them now. They have a choice, just like we have a choice. So that's why I said that's a touchy thing, because my situation might not be like minister's situation over there. You know, but the thing about it is we need to do what? Learn.
Nope.
Learn how to move on. Learn how to go forth. You know, learn how to say, brother, sister, can I just pray for you? Pray for them and move on. You can't get emotionally tied to your ministry. Because you get emotionally tied to your ministry, you're going to end up hurt.
Wow. I'm still sorry.
One of the most challenging things to me is, as far as ministry is, how we interact with people in the church. Because we have seen where there's ministers in the church and they are coming to the church and they won't even say good morning to people. They come in there with a nasty attitude.
Wow.
We won't even take time out to interact with the people. Because like you just said, as we move up into a little elevated into a little higher status and a little higher power, that we tend to lose our humility. That you no longer see that servant's heart there. You now see an arrogant heart in its place. And we can be cold to people. And then we can get up there and try to preach, and then we expecting people to receive our word when we just brushed them off and treated them like crap when we didn't take time to ask them, good morning, how are you doing this morning? And it's so important of how you treat people in church. Even though, even when we speak and a person don't speak back, and we have to understand sometimes that something's going on in that person's life and we don't know what's going on, but a lot of us especially, you know, we have an attitude like, oh, they ain't speaking to me, so guess what? I ain't speaking to them no more.
Mm.
No. You have the heart of a servant, so I'm still going to speak to you whether you say good morning back to me or not. And, you know, people are more receptive of you when you learn how to treat them in a proper manner.
Mm-hmm.
And you also going to have people that come to you with their problems. You're going to have people come to you with disputes. And in ministry, we just have to learn how to be fair and judge righteously. And a lot of us, if it's one of our friends that bring us to dispute and somebody else that's not our friend, we'll side with our friend, even though the other person could be right as well. We don't take into consideration what both people is telling us, because you have people that's going to come to you with their problems, and we have to learn how to handle them in truth. We have to be truthful when we're dealing with people.
Yeah.
We can't show favoritism in ministry. We have to be fair.
Wow.
And so that's one of the challenges that I deal with in ministry is my interaction with people. And I just always try to make sure that I let God lead and not my flesh. Because I know that this flesh will make mistakes. I can make the wrong decision. But when I let God lead, I know he'll lead me the right way.
But don't also with
you can go ahead.
We have to have a discerning spirit for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have a discerning spirit for people. Because we have a discerning spirit for people, then we are able to feel the spirit of that person. The ministry. Sometimes you can sit there and look at somebody, and you can see their spirit is down. You know, and like I say, in the ministry, you can't run across. A lot of times people come into church because the church, they know the church is going to love them. Some people come in to see what they can get from the church, out the church, you know what I'm saying? Because we love them in spite of their attitude. We love them in spite of their living situation. We love them anyway. But then again, a lot of people, you find yourself that you preach the word to them, And you listen to them, and after you finish ministering to them, the first thing they say, well, can I have some money? You know, I listen to you. Now, can you pay me? because a lot of times you have the street running to the church. To do what? To play games on the church. That's why it's so important that we learn to fast and get into the word and feed ourselves with the word. Why? Because our spirit is discerning for people. We want to see, as ministers, we want to be able to preach the word that somebody get delivered.
Yeah.
We want somebody to get delivered. We want somebody to be set free. I don't know what you're going through, but if you want to go, if you come to me and want to talk, I'm going to I don't even want to hear your problem. Give it to God. I want to, I want to touch and pray with you. I want you. If you feel that you need to talk to me, then it'll be confidential. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to worry about me telling this to tell. But I want to pray. I need you to talk to God first, because He's waiting for you to tell. You know, this thing that we tell people, God waiting for you to confess it to Him. I just want to touch and agree with you. It's not about, and that's the thing about it. We as ministers got to be real. Because let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there who play minister and not really minister. We got too many fake people. We got too many fake people. And I'm being serious about this. I'm being serious about this. We got too many people who play the minister. Too many people don't have the same spirit. For people, but they like the title, and so God, that's why we say we got a lot of I believe on being real with people. I believe on telling people, hey, if you phony, you phony. You a snake, you a snake.
Jesus,
I don't have to tell nobody. I'm telling you personally. I'm not judging you, but you are what you are. You know, and why? Because I've been out there in the streets. I don't have time to play church. I don't have time to play with nobody's soul. I'm worried about my own salvation. So we need to learn how to be real, but not in a cruel way, but in a lovely way. Bring the word. Let's start talking real, but bring the word with you when you're talking to him.
Come on now.
You know, they're like, brother, talking about, we need to treat. Yes, you know what? People should see glory on us. They should, when you know that you can't go to somebody, you're supposed to, every time you come and connect with somebody, you're supposed to give them a hug.
Wow.
If they come off the street, you're supposed to give them a hug. If they smell like alcohol, you're supposed to do what? Give them a hug.
That's right.
That's why they come in there broken up already. So we need to learn how to do what? Love. It's that's why I said minister, that we as minister in the ministry, we first got to be first partakers of doing what? Showing love.
Wow,
that's our duty, because people coming in are broken up, coming from broken homes. Just might, you don't even have to say nothing. Just say you look like you need a hug, and give them a hug. Watch the smile come on their face. And that's what we fall short. I'm not better than nobody, but what I do know is I've been changed. What I do know is God, if He can save me, He can save you. That's what I do know.
Amen.
Wow.
So true.
Whew.
Man. Y'all got me full over here, y'all. I want
to. Awesome.
Yeah, we going to do this again.
This is awesome.
We're gonna do this, and we're gonna bring a couple more brothers on this call, on this next one. I'm opening up the lines for a couple of questions. See if a couple of people might have a couple of questions before we get out of here. Because y'all, we don't been on. It's late on the East Coast, and so let's kind of be mindful that these men, they have to go to work. And everything like that. They got families that they still have to take care of. And so I want to open up the line for a few minutes. If anybody got a couple of questions, advice or something that they can give that maybe I missed. So let's open up the line.
Oh, sir. What? Because of the email?
Okay.
Because I said you're not a
fairy. Does anybody have a question? Anybody have a question you want to ask these men of God concerning ministry, concerning matrimony concerning manhood. I want to open up that opportunity right now. Anybody at all? Amen. Going once.
And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is Apostle Whitaker. I've been listening to the call, and I just want to thank God for the bravery and the forbearance and the stamina that it takes to endure a call like this. And you know, I just know that you know these are trying times, and the warfare against man is on the rise. You know, a society established to take us out of our homes so that they can weaken the family and all of those different things. But there was a point in the conversation when you asked the question, Apostle Bell, in regards to the greatest challenge in the marital realm, in the marital section, in regards to like length of time together. And we know that this is a lifelong establishment of love. So I know Minister Sanders, he mentioned being with that one individual for the rest of your life. And in the arena of counseling, you know, individuals who are on their way down the aisle or those who have gone down the aisle, that seems to be a prominent question in regards to that longevity with that one individual and not stepping out on their marriage and not giving up on that covenant, because we make that covenant with God and we don't make the covenant with our spouses. And a lot of times we're looking eye to eye with our spouses and we see them, but we're actually making that covenant with God. But I just wanted to revisit that topic, that point on the longevity of lifelong love and keeping that sacred, not stepping out of marriage. I just wanted to bring that topic back up so that we can kind of, you know, dig in on that, because I know that there's a key issue, and I know that through the marriage counseling and things that I do, and these are some of the things that the questions are asked, and these are some of the tough questions. Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Man, look, I'm over here. I'm just kind of in awe, because, like I said, you know, it is hard for men to talk on a lot of subjects, and I think that this is great groundbreaking arena to help open up. And give a lot of understanding to the three key areas that most of us are involved in. Either we're involved in one of them, or we're involved in one of all three of these areas. Some part of this affiliates with a man, whether it's the manhood, whether it's the matrimony, or the ministry. And given that we're able to even come on this line and talk about it, it says a whole lot in itself and by itself alone. I thank y'all for that, just for for the courage, for the courage to come on to the line and share.
Amen.
And share.
Amen.
of your hearts on this call. We're going to definitely come back and talk more on. I want to touch on some real specific areas and some things in manhood a lot more that we want to really, really work on and bring another voice in as well to help kind of add a little bit more to the call. So we're going to do that soon. I just wanted to make sure, is there anybody else that wanted to ask a question or even give a shout out to the men of God on this line? I want to give that floor as well.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Apostle Irvin, and I just wanted to commend the men of God for going forth. I came on late today, amen, but I tell you, I was blessed by that word, amen. So much you can get into, so many avenues you can take, but I thank the men of God, Apostle Bell, and other men of God that shared on today, because I believe that really more of this is needed, even when we talk about ministry and men in ministry and being married. I think sometimes there is a disconnect because there are times in there, you know, we don't share enough or be transparent enough. And you know, God will lead you even in your transparency. But I believe sometimes there becomes a disconnect there because sometimes we won't open up, you know. But I thank God for this call on this evening. Of course, I came on late, but I thank God for what I heard, and I heard exactly what I needed to hear. Amen. But God bless all.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Apostle Irvin and Apostle Whitaker. Amen. Thank y'all for y'all's continued support.
Amen. You know, I would like to add to that.
Yeah, come on.
This is just a perspective on being a man. Now, when we're raised and when we're brought up, we know that some of the things that we were raised and taught as we were brought up, being a man, and then when we actually arrive to being a man, like we talked about, those things don't really pan out. They don't really connect. We heard it when we were young men, but actually when we became a man and had to fall into that responsibility, there are things that didn't fit to what mama told me or what daddy told me. I need to experience that manhood for myself. But then when I enter into the arena of marriage, it's sort of difficult to say it this way, but it's I have to sacrifice that man. The man that I grew up knowing, he has to be put to death because that man is not what my wife married, because see, the word woman changed when she got married, and the word man changed when I got married, you know. And with that change, now I go into the sacrificial portion of being a man, and that's sacrifice, and that's what the husband man do. He sacrifices. And I heard that on the call earlier, talking about the sacrifices that the gentlemen that are on the panel, what they had to do. But when you're a man, you striving for respect. You want the big car. You want the best house. If you're a pastor, you associate the people that you're associating yourself, they're always checking on how many members you got, how well the church is doing. So it's always about striving for respect when it comes for a man. But then when you try to take respect in your household, now you've stepped out of your boundaries, because the husband man, he even sacrifices respect. He even sacrifices that role of being that manly man in the house so that he can be the husband man to his wife, because the wife, she already has a father, so I can't be a father to her. She already have a brother, so I can't be a brother to her. What I have to be is fit into that place where God has called me to be, and that is to be her husband. I can't be a husband to my children. I can be my children's father, and that's a whole nother different role. So that right there, the father role keeps me in accountability. I have to be accountable to my children. I have to be accountable to the ministry. I have to be accountable even to my wife. But to my children, the father role is where the accountability lies, and in the husband role, that's where the sacrifice lies, and in the man role, that's where the respect lies. And today, in this age that we live in, everybody is striving for respect, even in their husband role. That's why you have the husband and wife at each other's head all the time, because they're struggling for that who's leading the house. And even though the wife may say that she's leading the house, you know, I heard Apostle Bell say that the man is the head of the house, and that the wife is the neck. And what I would like to bring to your mind is, if with your head,
Try to make it go all the way around. Try to spin your head all the way around. You can't do it. So that lets you know that the neck has its part. It does what it's supposed to do, but it does not completely control the head. So in that we have to learn how to sacrifice as husbands, learn how to humble ourselves and let go of that level of respect or having to always be pat on the back or seen as the man. It's good to be a great husband than it is to be a good man. It's better to be an outstanding father than it is to be either of the two. Because as the father role, I'm accountable because I'm preparing for the next generation. It's not about me. It's not about my time now. It's about them. It's about their lives and the responsibility that I have to look out for their future. Amen?
Amen. Amen. But you know, and with that talks about that, as we were saying, that's what I was saying earlier, that in that role as a father, we learn as a man of household, we learn to do what? Put God first in our lives.
So Amen.
If we put God first in our lives, then we become to love God. And our wife see that we love God, and our wife loves the husband because my wife say my husband is a man of God. But then not just that, but then as a man keep loving God, put God first, they, the children will say, my mama loved my daddy because my daddy loved God, and I love my mama and my daddy, and I learned to honor them. Why? Because when we put things in order the way God assigned it to be, then with the way he assigned to be, guess what? The household will be so the next generation, the kids will come through this, understand that we were brought up in a godly home where God comes first in everything. And that's the key that we as men and household understand that my wife is not my back, but she is my sidekick next to me. She helps me. She comforts me as I comfort her. She, you know, she's part of me and I'm part of her, but God comforts. My wife loves God before she loves me.
You know, please, so boy, come on.
We learn how to put God first. So we put God first in everything in our household. We put God first. Guess what? The overflow from the father draws to the wife. The overflow from the wife draws to the children. The overflow to the people. We be blessed more abundantly. Why? Because God comes first in the household, as that is that for me and my household.
Come on now.
Serve the Lord.
We don't have to
demand it, but we just have to live it. And once we live it, guess what? The kids will talk about the mama. The kids will talk about the daddy. How they love mama and daddy. Why? Because they see God in the household. And that's how marriage and household stay strong. Marriage and household stay strong. So when the kids get older and get their own household, guess what? They already have a foundation. Now they have a foundation of their own that they do what? Built on their own foundation now. Why? Because they learn how to put God first. That's what the man's duty is to the house, to make sure that the household is lined up the order the way God wants. And when we line it up, everything is going to be in place. We're going to be in place for what? The purpose and the destiny that God wants us to be. And you can't get no better than that.
Wow.
Who can treat me better than God? Nobody. Who can love me more than God? Nobody. So I agree with you, Father, but that's how we have an order that God wants us in. And we have to be in the right position. Our household has to be right in the position. Why? Because the overflow of God's blessings is going to fall on us, going to fall on the household, going to fall on the kids until they get grown enough. Where the blessing will stay upon them. And guess what? While they're going out there learning everything the way God wants to be, guess what? Glory is going to be right there with them.
Wow.
We teach that in the family. We teach that in the family. Learn. And then one thing about the other thing about this thing is that what I do, and this I'm speaking for myself on this. When I need to talk to my children, I have a family meeting. Everybody's voice means something.
Wow.
I teach them. I let them know this is a family, and this whole family love God. We pray that God have his way in our family meeting. Why? Because I want the kids to understand we put God first, and we talk in love. And we able to do that and show, you know, we just have to be the men of God. Once we learn what God want a man of God to be,
mm-hmm.
then we have to try. We have to cut out. We have to try the way we was taught growing up, and say this ain't the way the Bible says. I need to do it the way God. Because if I do it the way God tell me to do it, God got a blessing for me here. He promised me here. He got a blessing. You know, that's the thing that we, you know, that's the thing that we, and that's the thing that we have to learn to do is let go and let God. We have to do that. We have to do that to establish a strong, we have to establish a strong household. We have to establish a foundation for the home. And the only way we can establish a foundation is the man has to have a relationship with Jesus.
Wow.
He has to have it. He has to have it. You know, and if he don't have it, guess what? The wife gonna keep praying that he get it.
Wow. Wow.
It's strong stuff when we talk about marriage in a household, in a man of God. Being a man of
Amen,
God.
Bro.
We have to really learn and we really have to we have to push men of the church in that area. We men of the church have fallen out the rim of God because we're not trying to follow the rules of God, the order that God wants us to be. We have to really say, look, if I'm in the right position where God wants me to be in my household, because if I'm in my household in the right position, then that means when I go to church, I'm going to be in the right position.
Michael, wait, don't
when I walk the street, I'm going to be in the right position.
Wow. Amen. Does anybody, man, this is a good call, man. Does anybody have anything else that they want to say to the men of God or anything in that arena before I give them their final closing statements and we're going to get out of here? Does anybody else have anything else?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to close out the call and give the last words to Minister LaShawn, Minister Wilbur, for taking their time out. I really appreciate it, man of God, for all that you had. Apostle Whitaker and Apostle Irvin, thank y'all for calling. And I appreciate all the people that have called on tonight. You can reach these guys on Facebook if you want to send them a special encouragement and let them know what they have shared. You've been a blessing to them. You can find Minister Wilbur Henderson under Facebook and Minister LaShawn Sanders under Facebook. And just send them a message and let them know how much you appreciate it. On tonight, the closing, one thing that you want to encourage the men from the perspective of your life that you feel like they need to hear concerning any of the areas or just one of the areas that you really is really on your heart to share. I want to give that that opportunity to you both to really just give to them what it is that you would like to encourage them and take away from this call that's impactful for them from you.
Well, one thing is I really want the men to understand is that one thing is be real. Be, if you are a man of God, then be a man of God. Stand for what's right. Because we learn from the Word of God. We need to understand that when we stay in the Word, God's going to bless us to be better in every area of our life. We trying to get back in place. And when we get back in place, watch God bless each and every man in his own household, in the church. We're going to see men standing up in the church, coming to church first, praying in the church. Men staying in their rightful place in the church. But we have to learn to be real with ourselves. Time out, stop playing church, and be the church. That's what I got. That's my encouragement.
And so, Sean?
Well, first off,
okay.
I just want to thank you, Apostle Bill. We have been talking about this for a while, and this is just—it just turned out so amazing, man. I've been truly blessed and empowered, and just to being able to be on here and to share,
amen,
about being a man, about being a husband and a father, dealing with marriage and family, and being a minister. And dealing with ministry and dealing with people in ministry. And we need to come back and do this again, because there's just so many issues that men deal with on a daily basis that we can just touch on and try to find solutions. And let us encourage more men to call in.
Amen.
That we know out there that's struggling and that really out there lost and don't know how to be a man, because they never was taught how, and that the way that they were taught, it was actually a lie. And we need to teach the men the truth about how to be a man, about how to lead their household, how to be a leader in the house, in the church, and in the community, and everywhere that they go. This is this missing, and society has gave manhood a bad rap. Men have a bad reputation out here in the world. Because all we are known as freeloaders, as dogs, when there's actually some of us that are walking in the authority of God, that's trying to live right and do right, and being good husbands, being good fathers, being good role models. And we have to show this to the men of today, because they're not seeing it. They are being influenced by those out there with their pants sagging and got their 40 ounce in their hand and their alcohol and rolling up the blunts and shooting up drugs and cussing out women, shooting at men. That's what they think, that's a man. But a real man is one that's faithful to his wife, that be at home with his wife and his children, that take his child to school, that be there for his child's activities at school, that's there giving his children discipline and instruction, that's taking care of his wife, that know how to treat her right, that's in ministry, knowing how to treat people, knowing how to minister to people so that they can receive the word of God and heal, because they come into the church broken because they don't get love out there in the world. And a real man in ministry knows how to come to that person in love. So we need to teach men this, because it is lacking, it is missing. I just thank you, Apostle Bill, once again for doing this. And I just encourage you, because I see you on here often and you deal with all these issues. Like, you dealt with issues about pornography, lust. It's these issues. Men deal with these issues. These issues is making the men fall in society. And we need to help them to be able to let them know that the power of God, they can conquer it, because we are more than conquerors through him who first loved us.
Amen.
This is just what's empowering tonight. I just thank you for it. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. Amen.
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 I definitely would like to bring you back. I'm bringing a couple of ladies back next month to talk on second chance love. The call was really good, and I want to bring this call.
Thank you for listening to this message. I pray that it was indeed a blessing to your life. If it has been a blessing and you would like to give me more feedback and let me know how it has been a blessing to you, please send me a message, or you can even go to www.journeymanbell40.com. That's www.journeymanbell40.com. And also, please feel free to share at any of your convenient social media pages here at Breath of Life, where we believe life offers you no other option but God. Take care, and may God bless you.